Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
After a series of meetings today with Western leaders, President Biden says the U.S. will respond if Russia uses chemical weapons. What that could mean. Plus, why Uber has struck a deal with New York City taxis.
Remember when Uber burst onto the scene some 10 years ago? They pledged to disrupt the taxi industry. They said, we're going to be a game changer. We're going to kill taxis. Well, guess what? That hasn't happened.
And office workers are facing off over a valuable commodity. It's Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Lori Herosa for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. As we reported this morning, President Biden met with NATO allies for an emergency summit in Brussels today, the first in a series of meetings to map out the next steps in helping Ukraine deal with Russian attacks. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed the group on Zoom. He asked for more military support, including tanks. NATO leaders agreed to deploy more combat-ready forces to the alliance's eastern flank. At a press conference following the summit, President Biden said there would be consequences if Russian President Vladimir Putin resorts to chemical weapons.
We would respond if he uses it. The nature of the response would depend on the nature of the use.
WSJ News editor Robert Wall, who has been reporting from the NATO summit, says chemical weapons have been a growing concern for NATO leaders.
One of the theories is they're getting quite a bloody nose on the battlefield, and this might be a way to strike back and also put pressure on the Ukrainians and the West to force them to negotiate, is what the Russians might call it, but basically to accede to the Russian territorial demands. So the concerns have been growing around this, and the alliance has increasingly been voicing its worries about it. In part, they've been quite open to say, to make sure Vladimir Putin doesn't miscalculate and realizes there will be a high cost. Everyone's been very cautious, not wanting to draw NATO into a direct conflict with Russia for fear of a massive escalation. So where the red line is or what the red line is somewhat uncertain. But everyone's being quite clear and quite blunt. There would be a response of some sort.
Robert says the allies did agree to supply Ukraine with equipment to help against chemical, biological, radiological, and other threats.
Part of the NATO summit, Jens Stoltenberg, the Secretary General, has said that the alliance would make material to help in the case of a chemical bioweapons attack available. That can be decontamination equipment, that can be detection equipment, that could be medical aid. So they are worried for Ukraine, but they're also worried that some of this could, you know, potentially cross the border. So they've also put NATO forces with that specialty on alert, effectively.
Meanwhile, officials from the Biden administration say the U.S. will accept up to 100,000 refugees fleeing from the fighting in Ukraine. The United Nations estimates more than 10 million people have been displaced because of the Russian invasion, and more than 3.5 million have left the country. Senior U.S. officials say they haven't worked out a structure for the refugee program or set a timeline yet. President Biden has also pledged more than $1 billion in new funding to help address humanitarian needs resulting from the conflict in Ukraine. U.S. stocks rose today, recouping most of Wednesday's losses, with semiconductor and materials stocks leading the gains. The S&P rose 1.4%, the NASDAQ was up 1.9%, and the Dow gained 1% or 350 points. Stocks have been under pressure this year amid rising inflation, concerns about the supply chain, and mixed economic signals from the war in Ukraine. Republican senators are indicating they don't plan to boycott the confirmation of Supreme Court nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. On Wednesday, 10 of 11 Republicans on the Judiciary Committee had requested the confirmation hearings be adjourned until they obtained legal documents, including pre-sentencing records, in a child pornography case. But today, several of the Republicans who signed the letter said they wouldn't hold up the process by blocking the committee's vote, which is on track for early next month. And California Governor Gavin Newsom is proposing an $11 billion relief package to ease the burden of high gasoline prices on drivers. The plan includes paying car owners $400 in direct payments for each vehicle, capped at two, temporarily providing free public transportation, and reducing fuel taxes. The average price of regular gas in California is at $5.88 a gallon, according to AAA. The Newsom administration says if the proposal is approved, the first payments could come as soon as July. Coming up, when you call an Uber in New York City, a yellow cab may soon show up to give you a ride. We'll tell you why.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
New York City cabbies used to own the streets of Manhattan when it came to ride hailing. And then came Uber. But now it looks like old foes are becoming partners. We report exclusively that Uber and the New York City Tax and Limousine Commission's tech partners have reached an agreement to list all New York City taxis on the Uber app. Preeta Khurana broke the story. She's one of the Wall Street Journal's tech reporters, and she joins us now. Hey, Preeta, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on the show.
From foes to partners, can you tell us how this happened?
So remember when Uber burst onto the scene some 10 years ago, they pledged to disrupt the taxi industry. They said, we're going to be a game changer. We're going to kill taxis. Well, guess what? That hasn't happened. And while it's true that Uber modernized the taxi industry and, you know, made everyone driver and made us accustomed to rides at the touch of a button, they didn't kill taxis or they didn't really fundamentally alter the nature of the service. So Uber and taxi groups have been fighting for a long time all around the world, and New York City was a big battlefield. Now, the pandemic changed things in a big way. So for taxi drivers, it completely disrupted the industry. You know, New York City cabbies thrive on the city being alive and kicking. And so their street hailing business completely dried up. A lot of taxi drivers filed for bankruptcy in New York. Now, meanwhile, what was happening with Uber was that their drivers, because there was no demand during the health crisis, their drivers went on to become food delivery drivers. They went on to deliver groceries. So Uber started facing a supply crunch. So what's happened now is that passengers have returned to Uber, but they don't have enough drivers. So it was an alliance where taxi drivers were sort of looking to make up for their lost earnings, and Uber was looking for more driver supply.
This is an agreement of convenience between Uber and the cabbies of New York City. It's really a business decision on both ends, right?
Right. I mean, the way that the companies have positioned it, and I also spoke with the city officials on their take on it, so far, you know, they're positioning it as a win-win. So for New Yorkers, it's greater choice. Okay, if it's taking too long for an Uber, you can hail a taxi. For taxi drivers, it's also helping them with more demand. Say someone goes, you know, a taxi driver goes to the outer boroughs. Often they have to return empty-handed, and that's particularly painful right now because it's empty miles with soaring gas prices. So they can switch on their app and Uber can match them with a rider when, you know, on their way back to Manhattan.
So how's this deal going to work in New York City?
So what Uber has done is that it's partnered with two taxi hailing apps that are licensed by the TLC. So taxi drivers have their own version of Uber that they use and consumers can use to hail taxis. But, you know, their user base is pretty small. It's no match compared to Uber's. So what they're going to do is that these two apps are going to integrate with Uber, and a passenger can open their Uber app and order a taxi the way that they order an Uber right now.
Pritika, Uber has been competing with taxi companies all over the world, and it's reached similar agreements with some cab companies overseas, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, Andrew McDonald, who is Uber's global mobility chief, I spoke to him for this story, and, you know, sometime earlier with investors, he acknowledged and he said, you know, I see the irony in this. I see the irony in the Uber folks telling you that taxis are the future. Yeah, that's right. Uber initially started forging alliances with taxis in highly regulated markets. So for them, it was, you know, the partnership was a way to stay afloat and survive in that market. So Uber has said that people who come to them through a taxi offering often go on to use other Uber products like Uber Eats. So Uber is really seeing big returns from this. They've had partnerships with taxis. In fact, in Europe, that is their big strategy. Cities all over Europe have blocked them. Regulators have pushed back. And Uber sort of made a comeback in Europe with taxi. In Asia as well, in Japan and Hong Kong, they're actively buying up taxi apps. And Uber said that it has listed more than 100,000 new taxi drivers on its app last year. That's a fourfold increase from the year earlier. So you can really see how they're doubling down on this as a strategy for growth.
This is a worldwide strategy, but this is the first time that Uber has made this kind of deal in the U.S. Do you think we'll see it happening in other cities as well?
I think that there is definitely more to come. If New York has done this, that sort of can stand as a model for other cities as well. So indeed, while Uber started out its taxi partnerships overseas, the New York partnership is its biggest partnership now. And it'll be interesting to see how this pans out across other U.S. cities.
What does it mean for the cabbies? Are they going to take a pay cut if they accept an Uber ride?
Uber has to pay their drivers a different minimum wage that is set out by the TLC. And Uber says that their drivers typically make more than this minimum wage. But because the metered fares are based on a different calculus, Uber drivers in New York City right now can't see what their expected earnings are going to be before the ride. But what Uber is doing for this partnership is that it's going to show the taxi drivers who take Uber rides what their expected earnings are going to be. Because taxi drivers are used to the metered rate. They know, you know, okay, if I'm taking someone from JFK to the city, this is how much I can expect to earn. So they're used to knowing how much they will make on that ride. So that's Uber's way of saying, hey, you know, our rates are calculated a bit differently, but we're showing you what you can expect to make, and feel free to reject it if, you know, that's not worth your time.
Of course, what we all want to know is, what does it mean for us? Are we going to pay more? Will we save some money on fares? And is it going to be easier to find a cab on the streets of New York City?
Uber has said that passengers will pay roughly the same for, you know, a cab hailed on Uber as they do on an Uber X ride. But one thing for sure, because so many more drivers are coming into the fold, it will help drive down prices, which have been at record highs because of this labor shortage that Uber has faced during the pandemic.
All right. That's the Wall Street Journal tech reporter, Pritika Rana. Pritika, thanks for being here.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And finally, from the streets to the parking lots. As more people feel comfortable coming back to the office, the battle for prime parking spaces is heating up. Our on-the-clock columnist Callum Borchers says workers who came back to the office first are annoyed they're having to fight for primo parking again.
parking is sort of like one of those things. It's like having a corner office or a high limit company credit card. It can convey a certain amount of status. So executives have reserved parking spaces that maybe are really close and don't require a long walk, or maybe they have a wider berth, right? They're not going to get one of those little compact spots. And in some places, you know, employees might compete to be employee of the month, and that honor often comes with special parking privileges. So it's one of those little things that is kind of like a reward for people. And the folks who were among the early returning cohort, even if they aren't actually a boss, they were parking like a boss for months at a time. And so they feel like their VIP status is being revoked by these people who are coming back.
And that's What's News for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lori Herosa for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. Thank you for listening.